Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next hour, as we seek to venture deeper into life with Jesus. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I'd like to talk a little bit today about Advent and about our hearts again. So let's open with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearest Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be together again. Thank you for the joy of following you and living life with you. Be with us now as we turn to you, and please bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope and pray that you had a lovely Thanksgiving and that you enjoyed the bounties of the season. And we'd had a lovely get-together at my house. We're not usually here at this time of year, so it was nice to have everyone together, at least part of the family anyway. My husband's from a family of 13 children, and they're all married, and they've all got children, and some have grandchildren. So they all do their own thing, basically, at Thanksgiving. But since we were here, we were able to have some over to be with us, and it was really lovely. And I thank them for coming, and it was just Thanksgiving, like I talked last week. It's just a very special holiday. It can be challenging and difficult, and there's a lot of cooking work being done, but it was really, really wonderful. Anyway, if you don't mind, I have friends who aren't Catholic that listen to the show, and obviously I have friends who are Catholic that listen to the show, and so I'd like to give the season of Advent started yesterday, and I'd like to give a little bit of information about it to you all, and some of you know this, and some of you don't, and even the ones who are familiar with Advent and all that's wrapped up in it may not know everything that I'm going to talk about. So if you don't mind, here we go. I want to say the first thing I want to start with, though, is my experience with Advent and Christmas since becoming Catholic. It has been amazing for me because I didn't come from Catholic background. And I find out about this Advent season. I'd heard vaguely about a thing called Advent in my past, but when I became Catholic, I found out that Advent is a period of time leading up to the Christmas season, and on December 25th. So what I'd like to do is I want to start with reading a little something to you out of one of my all-time favorite Advent and Christmas reflections books. It's called A Monastery Journey to Christmas by Brother Victor Antoine de Avila de Tourette. And it's just wonderful. The meditations start on November 15th and go through Epiphany. And so it preps you for Advent, then it preps you for Christmas, and then it leads you on into Epiphany. And it's just wonderful. And you know, I know some people think it's stupid for lay people to be looking at and studying or reflecting with people who live in a monastery, but I can tell you that it's a treasure trove. Okay, so what I'd like to share with you is a couple of things first. Advent, and you'll hear this more than once tonight, Advent is a season of waiting, and preparation for the Christmas season. Okay, that's, of course, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all the beautiful things that surround Christmas from a religious point of view. There are many beautiful secular things out there, too. I happen to love Santa Claus, but, you know, I want to basically kind of focus on the Christian part of it. So we're, you know, Advent is a time of waiting. And it's not a time of waiting in that it's passive. You just sit back and you just wait, inactive, you know, or you go about your everyday routine and ho-hum, I'm waiting for Christmas. No, it's an active, vibrant time in the church. And I really want to help you understand that. One of the things that you might not be familiar with is there are many, many Bible scriptures about waiting on the Lord or waiting for the Lord or looking forward to and waiting and looking forward to the Lord's help, the Lord's even correction, you know. But one of the scriptures there are many of them, but one of the scriptures I want to share with you is Lamentations. It's from Lamentations 3 in the Old Testament. This is, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the souls that seek him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of scriptures like that, and what they are, in my opinion, is their promises. Their promises. If we wait for him, he will reward that. He will reward good for that waiting. Because, you know, and in today's world, we're very impatient people. We don't like to wait. We want everything. We've gotten so used to pressing a button and getting something on our computers or turning the TV on or the light comes on or whatever. Everything, right now, you press a button and your car starts up. So, you know, we're so impatient when we have to wait. And just look at the road rage around. Anyway, so also it's so waiting on the Lord, he rewards. And then it says, to the soul who seeks him. So, you know, if we're seeking him, he makes that worth our while. He rewards us for that. He gives us what we're seeking for, a closer relationship with him. But, you know, Advent is also not only a time for preparing for Christmas, but it's also a time for preparing ourselves for when the Lord Jesus comes back again, because he has promised that he will. And so it's a time for, you know, assessment of ourselves. It's a time for prayer where we say, Lord, you know, if I died today, or if you came back today, would you find me worthy to be taken into your kingdom, into heaven? And if not, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? How do I work with you to change my heart to be the heart that you wish it to be? My actions to be the actions that you wish them to be. I want to live forever with you in heaven, but I also want to have a deep and rich relationship with you now. So help me to discern the things that I need to let go of that are impeding my relationship with you, and help me to invite you and the good things into my life. during this Advent season. It's a good time to prep for that, okay? And the kind of like the motto of Advent is be prepared, stay awake. And you know, stay awake. You don't know when the Lord's coming. And we can really, really enjoy prepping for Christmas. So the first time he came. So anyway, what I'd like to share with you today is from a couple of things in this reflections book, Christmas reflections book. And in here, Brother Antoine, no, Victor Antoine, says, Advent, as we know, is a time of quiet waiting, of deep longing, and intense praying, while we eagerly prepare for the Lord's arrival. During this blessed period of preparation, full of wonder and joyful anticipation, the Christian takes time out of a usually busy schedule to ponder in the depths of his or her heart the mirabilia Dei, or the God's wonders, that is, the wonderful works of God as manifested in the mystery of his Son's incarnation, of his Son's coming into the world as fully human with a body and fully divine being God. And it goes on, so basically he's telling us, you know, Advent is a quiet time of waiting with deep longing for a deeper relationship with Christ, more intense praying, because there's a lot we need to pray for. And okay, so then he goes on to say, pray to the Holy Spirit for enlightenment, for patience, and for spiritual support. Pray to the Holy Spirit for enlightenment, for patience, and for spiritual support. Okay. Enlightenment. Open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds to the truth, to the beauty of the season, to the things that are important. Patience. We already talked about that. Patience. We all need patience. Okay. And then for spiritual support. What can I seek to help? Might help me in my spiritual walk. And then he goes on to say, and this is key to some of what I was talking about in the beginning of the treasure that I have received upon joining the Catholic Church. It says, though Advent reaches its plenitude at Christmas, the journey continues onward to Epiphany, where the Lord shows himself, or reveals himself, to the Gentiles through the three kings, or the three wise men, and to the whole world. Let me say that again. I'm sorry. Though Christmas reaches its plenitude on Christmas Day, the journey continues onward to Epiphany, where the Lord reveals himself to the Gentiles and to the whole world. Finally, 40 days after Christmas Day, the journey reaches its completion on February 2nd, Candlemas Day, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. What this is saying in a roundabout way is that Advent, the Advent season, began yesterday, and it's a preparation time that leads up to Christmas. Okay, and then Christmas Day begins the Christmas season. It does not end the Christmas season. It begins it. And various churches and various people, cultures around the world, end that Christmas season at different times. Some end it on the Feast of the Epiphany in January, and others, many, many others. Christmas season lasts all the way to February 2nd, which he just referred to, which is Candlemas Day, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord in the temple as an infant. If you go to many European countries after Christmas Day, and even after Epiphany, they're still in their Christmas season. So it's still decorated. It's gorgeous. There's all kinds of wonderful events. And you bypass the craziness of the Advent leading up to Christmas days that everybody goes there for. And I was just amazed when I became Catholic that all my life I was celebrating Christmas during Advent. And on Christmas Day, oh, it's over, you know. And then we would leave our stuff up till New Year's and then take it down just because it was convenient. Well, then I find out you leave it up. Leave it up. It's so depressing to take the lights and stuff down. So I find out that you begin celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day. And I have found, because we are a culture that does so much before Christmas Day, that when Christmas Day comes, that's the time you can relish the whole, all the events that have caused Christmas to be here, all of the things you couldn't do that you wanted to do before Christmas Day, like maybe watch your favorite Christmas movies, ponder some of the books that you have, pray sitting in front of your nativity set, or pray more, I should say, and turn on the Christmas tree lights and just sit there and enjoy them, not thinking about what I need to be doing instead. I find it one of the most peaceful, rewarding times of the whole year for me, because I take it to heart. The church has a reason for giving us these special times in the liturgical calendar, and I pay attention because they are treasures. I know people, they take down their Christmas tree on Christmas Day or the day after. It's like, boom, it's out of here. Now, if it's dead, that's one thing, but if it's still vibrant and alive, you know, I'm encouraging my non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters in other churches to start celebrating on Christmas Day and keep on going. Enjoy that wonderful period of time. You know, with your family, you can do all sorts of things that you didn't have time to do, Christmassy things you didn't have time to do during Advent leading up to Christmas Day. And it can really enrich the whole season for you. It makes Advent easier. It makes Christmas more exciting. And you can even use Christmas Day as a religious day and do your like many in Europe do your gift giving on January 6th or so, a different day, and you can go hit all the great Christmas sales after Christmas Day and before you celebrate with the regular gift present day, you know, Santa Claus kind of days, you know, later, and you've made out with having less expensive presents and something else to look forward to. I mean, there's just so many things you can do to enrich that period of time and still keep it holy. Still keep it holy. So let's see. And then he goes on page 15, he explains a little bit about what I was talking about. It says, the scriptures tell us that there's a time and season for everything, for each particular event. There's a time of preparing for Christmas, and that is Advent. And then there is a time for Christmas itself. There is no doubt in my mind that the more serious we are about our personal Advent journey, the greater the joy we shall reap during our Christmas celebration. I second that 100%. You know. Anyway, it's a good practice to make concrete plans on how to keep your Advent observance, because if we don't make some kind of plans, Advent will sometimes go unnoticed and wasted. And he says here, Advent, as he said before, is basically a quiet time of waiting for the arrival of the light, Jesus Christ, at Christmas. And it's good to try to become more internally quiet during this rather brief season. That takes some work because we're rushing around and trying to do things and forgetting the reason why we're doing all these things and the time that we should spend a little quiet time pondering them, being grateful for the people we have in our lives and our circumstances, and spending time with the Lord. It says, he says, observe quiet time during the day for prayer, reading, reflection, or even just for a quiet stroll through the wonders of nature. If we're serious about integrating a quality quiet time into our daily routine, we shall discover the marvels it can work in our personal lives. I'm going to repeat that. If we are serious about integrating a quality quiet time into our daily routine, we shall discover the marvels it can work in our personal lives. Some of the quiet time can also be spent writing to those with whom we are close and with whom we have not been in touch in a while, or making a simple phone call. We're so busy texting and emailing and all that sort of thing. Someone to hear your voice is a real gift in this day and time. Just text them first and see if it's okay to talk. Anyway, he says, during our quiet time, we can also anticipate some early Christmas preparations, but without the rush or frantic obsession one observes on the last days just before December 25th. Above all, we must make the most of these moments of stillness by remaining calm, silent, and spending quality time with the Lord. The words from one of the Psalms counsels us, "Be still and know that I am God." To me, that's a promise. If we are still and spend some time with him, it doesn't have to be hours. It can be 10 minutes. You know, I think you got to spend at least 10 minutes to get anything out of it. But that might not be true for you. But if you have time to spend more time with him. But anyway, this is a promise. This is from God himself. Be still. Stop. Be still. And know that I am God. In other words, he will show you so you will know that he exists, that he is there, he is your companion in life, and he is God Almighty. It's a promise. It's a promise. All through Scripture, there's promises like that. So, anyway, the benefits, you know, I hate to say that way. I don't know. Our graces. You know, if we wait patiently and prayerfully on the Lord in anticipation of his coming, his second coming, or, you know, the Christmas celebration coming, that's our job during Advent. You know, waiting patiently, but proactively, constructively. And then on God's part, he is absolutely thrilled and eager to respond to what we are working with. And he wants to come and be with us. And as a quote I saw today, find a warm dwelling place in our hearts. He's eager to arrive and answer our prayers and our seeking of him. While we're waiting for him, and find a warm dwelling place in our hearts. I don't know if you remember last Advent, I shared with you some of the things I had learned from Mother Teresa and the sisters. And she used to always say, during Advent, let us prepare a suitable crib in our hearts for Jesus to come into. And so that's basically what this is saying, finding a warm dwelling place in our hearts. The greater our desire and patience in waiting for him, the fuller we shall be filled with his presence. That's why Brother Victor Antoine says in there, basically he's guaranteeing that if we spend our Advent in a way that is, you know, I've been talking about, I've learned since becoming Catholic, the riches that will give us for Christmas and for our own personal spiritual lives and even for our family lives and our work will be tremendously enhanced. So you can't outgive God. If you give him some sacrificial time and reorder your life to real priorities and make him one of those priorities, the main priority, but at least one of those priorities, he cannot be outgiven. He will reward that. He will come to you and he will, you know, dine with you, will be with you all the time. He's always waiting for us who seek him. He's right now ready to respond to our desires for a more intimate, closer relationship with him. Remember the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. The son demanded his inheritance and left his family. He basically told his father, "I wish you were dead so I could get my inheritance, so give it to me now." And so he goes off, he squanders it, and then he comes back. It's a long story, but it's a beautiful story. He comes back home broke and brokenhearted that he treated his father so horribly and didn't expect to be taken back into the family. But his father was watching and waiting for him. Watching and waiting for him, and instantly responded, "That's the way God is looking at you. That's the way God is looking at me. That's the way it is with him. You seek him, he's already been seeking you." So I want to read this scripture before I have to take my break. And it is Jesus speaking from the book of Revelation. "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him or her and eat with him and he with me. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. Do not be afraid to open wide your hearts." I'll be right back. Stay with me. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, host for the next half hour. In the last half hour, we've been discussing Advent and the beauty of the season of Advent. And I ended that segment with a scripture from the book of Revelation that Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." So he's basically saying he's already waiting for us. All we have to do is to open the doors of our heart to him. And he will come in. He says, "I'll eat with him, and I'll come in, and I'll eat, and basically share life." He wants that more than anything, is to share your life with you, to have you as in relationship with him, a loving, amazing relationship. So do not be afraid to open wide the doors to your heart to let him into your life, okay? That is our goal during Advent. Open our hearts. Seek the Lord. Prepare for the big celebration of Christmas and what he did for us by coming. Born a babe in the little lowly stable. And he did that because he didn't want anyone. He didn't come in as this great big king or this rich person. Or he wanted to come in as the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor, so that every person in the world would feel comfortable being with him. You know, the poor would not, he loves the poor especially because he understands how difficult life can be. And so he wanted the poor especially to feel comfortable coming to be with him and being in relationship with him instead of feeling lowly because this great, rich person was, throwing out fish to them or something. That's not what Jesus is about. Jesus is about down-to-earth, real, and amazing relationships. Anyway, as I said before, some of you listeners are not familiar with Advent. And so I'm going to share a few ways that you can, get closer to the Lord during this Advent season, and also enhance your joy of the Advent season and even into the Christmas season. One of the ways I really love, and I collect icons. I have something that happened to me a long time ago. I came across, my husband and I were at the Ardmart. It was an antiques market that was big and had a lot of things in it. And it was fun to go in there. It was filled with memorabilia and beautiful old furniture. And it was really fun in our younger days. And so in there was a certified real antique icon from the Romanov family in Russia. And it was religious. It was beautiful. It was expensive, especially for a young, fairly newly married couple. And we both loved it. We wanted it so badly, but we talked ourselves out of it because of a financial situation. You know, it was a collectible, but at the same time, it was going to take a lot of money out of our pockets. So we passed it up. But that instilled in me a hunger for that type of artwork. And so I've been collecting icons off and on for probably 30 years. And I have a new one that I just heard about. A lot of monasteries have this one. It's called Our Lady of the Sign. And you can't see it, obviously, on radio, but on Facebook. It's Our Lady with her hands up in prayer, with angels above her head, and then the infant Jesus in a circle in her womb. And in one of his hands, he has a scroll of scripture. And the other hand, he has it up to bless us. Okay? But I use these throughout the year. I have different ones for different seasons of the year and different events in the church calendar. And so this is my Advent one. Jesus is in the womb. Our Lady's there. She's praying, prepping for his birth, etc. And I love using icons for prayer. They are very, very helpful. Very helpful. And so I recommend that. Okay. And you can buy them. Inexpensive, not historic type of icons online. Just Google religious icons or whatever you just get started with icons for sale, and then see where that takes you. There's a lot of really good places out there, but I don't want to take the time to mention that. But anyway, obviously, during Advent, Bible studies and devotionals that are dedicated to the Advent and Christmas season are really wonderful to use. You can buy little short ones that the devotional might only have, like, you know, a scripture and then a short commentary and a little prayer, or you can get more in-depth ones that for a deeper, more longer period of reflection. One of my favorites, other than the one I quoted from before, are these by Francis Fernandez, In Conversation with God. There are multiple volumes, but this one is the Daily Meditations, Volume 1, Advent and Christmastide. Look at all, I have all these pages marked. I use it over and over and over again. It's just beautiful. Beautiful. In Conversation with God, there's multiple devotions and reflections books. And if even if you're not Catholic, I recommend that you get a Catholic one, because they are so rich. So rich. So anyway, another thing you can use is an Advent wreath or with candles in it. And it brings to mind the time before Jesus when the world was in a spiritual darkness. And there's 5 candles, 3 violet, 1 pink, and 1 white one. And there's a whole routine and method for lighting those candles. You light them every day. There's 4 candles, 1 for every week of Advent. And then the white one is lit on Christmas Eve. But there's a little, you know, prayer service and a little reflection that you can do each night with your family to bring to mind the reason for the season thing. And it's really a beautiful, simple, and can be very short. It doesn't have to take a long time, and it can really enhance the joy of the season. Same thing, Advent calendars. You open, they come, you know, and with scenes on them, and you can open one little door a day leading up to Christmas. And there's all different kinds. Some have chocolate treats or candy in them. Some have little figures in them. Some have just pictures that you can open and look at. They're really wonderful, especially when you have children, to do that every day too. And then, obviously, Brother Victor Antoine talked about calling or writing to someone you haven't been in contact with for a while. Obviously, you can serve as a volunteer somewhere. Nursing homes, food banks, soup kitchens. You can volunteer to babysit for a young couple that needs a night out and they don't have family here. You can visit the sick, donate to all different causes, provide for the Giving Tree at your parish. There's just so many, many things that you can do. And also, I know some couples who have gotten together and organized or joined in on a service project for their entire families to be a part of during Advent and Christmas. So there's all kinds of things that can draw us together and enhance the joy of the season. And there are many cultures that fast during Advent. Fast and pray for the needs in your family, in our nations, and in the world. And some fast on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during the week. But if you really want to enhance, or I should say empower, your prayers during Advent, you might want to add one day a week in fasting to your prayer life. And typically Fridays, but some people, you know, can't do Fridays. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, any day, it will empower your self-discipline and also your prayers. It's promised in Scripture. So anyway, I just want to thank you for putting up with me talking about Advent like that. It's a real joy for me. My heart is so much richer since becoming joining the Catholic Church because of all of these type of things that the Church gives us to help us to get on track, stay on track, and not fall away from Jesus, because the world is very noisy and is filled with so many distractions. You know, the quietness and the stillness of God are sometimes put on the back burner and sometimes forgotten. So, you know, Advent, just like Lent, is a good time to, like, pull away a little bit and say, okay, I have lots of things to do, but, you know, every day, either when I first get up in the morning or at lunchtime or mid-afternoon or at night before I go to sleep, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, and I'm going to ponder things, and I'm going to pray. Okay? God bless your Advent experience. I'm probably going to be sharing some Advent things with you throughout this whole holy season, because I've learned so much, and I just want to share those wonderful things with you from my heart. Speaking of heart, I would like to change. I'd like to go back to the latest encyclical from Pope Francis on the heart of Jesus, and how basically it's a perfect timing encyclical. If you've been listening to me for the last few weeks, you understand where I'm coming from. If you're new to this, I just want you to know that it's an eye opener. And it's also a comforter, you know, because in it, he begins it, like in the first chapter that we've been doing so far. We've looked at the condition of the hearts of the people of the world, including our own hearts. We have become very cold-hearted towards each other and cynical and, you know, have forgotten, or maybe never really learned, how essential having an open heart and our lives, having an open heart in our lives, I mean, how essential it is for living the kind of life that we were created to live. We were not created to be only intellectual beings. We were not. Intelligence helps us to learn to live in constructive ways, to be careful, to have the good things in life, material things and stuff like that. It's important for us to be using our intelligence, but without the heart, without the inner heart of who we are, to soften and enhance and prioritize and order the intellectual, we can't we can't have a full life. We were created to love and be loved. And we can't just be people of emotions. And we can't just be people of intellect. We have to marry those things together. Both help each other. But when you have memories of the people that you love or of the things you've enjoyed in life, that is your heart talking. It has enhanced the facts of the situation, and your heart is telling you, oh, that was wonderful, or oh, that was sad. It is your heart that is telling you, is keeping track of all the beauty of the things in your life. So anyway, so we finished pretty much chapter one. So I'd like to begin chapter two tonight. And that's where we start to begin to look at Jesus' heart and how he encountered other people. Okay? The people, you know, how did he encounter people? What was his attitude? Okay? So anyway, in chapter 2, again, we're looking at Jesus in chapter 2, and its heading is Actions and Words of Love. Actions and Words of Love. And it says in here, ad-libbing here, but paragraph 32, Jesus' heart is the very core of the preaching of the gospel. It's the origin of our faith, and it refreshes and enlivens our Christian beliefs. The heart of Jesus Christ is the key. And then the next, in that subsection under Actions and Words of Love, it's actions that reflect the heart. Jesus' examples to us of the actions that he took. I don't know where my pen went, but nonetheless, let's take a look at this. Jesus Christ showed the depth of his love for us, not by lengthy explanations, but by concrete actions. He showed the depth of his love for us, not just with words, but with concrete actions. By examining his interactions with others, we can come to realize how he treats each one of us, even though at times this may be difficult to see. Let us now turn to the place where our faith can encounter this truth, the Word of God. See, the Pope is asking us, you know, Jesus showed us his love. He didn't just speak of it. And so in the Gospels, we need to examine his interactions with others so that we can understand him and how he worked with them, but also that we can understand he is working with us as well in our lives, and be waiting and looking for that. You know, I know so many people, they go through life without seeing anything, anything of the Lord, because they're just not looking. I promise you, and he has promised you, if you're seeking him and you are looking, you will see him acting in your life. Maybe not every single day, or maybe not at the time that you really want to see him. But he is there, and he will make that up to you. So anyway, the Pope says, let's turn to the place where our faith can encounter the truth about Jesus' deep love, the Word of God. And he says, the Gospel tells us that Jesus came to his own in the Gospel of John. Those words refer to us, for the Lord does not treat us as strangers, but as a possession that he watches over and cherishes. Jesus came to his own people. He comes to us, his own people. He does not treat us as strangers, but ones that he watches over and cherishes. He treats us truly as his own. This does not mean that we are his slaves. That slaves is something he himself denied. He said, I do not call you servants. I call you friends. I do not call you servants. I call you friends. Rather, it refers to the sense of mutual belonging typical of friends. Jesus came to meet us, bridging all distances. He became as close to us as the simplest everyday realities of our lives. Indeed, he has another name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God, and it's funny that this is in this encyclical. And right now, what do we hear? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And during the Christmas season, we will hear Emmanuel, Emmanuel. God with us. God so loved us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live with us and be with us and to teach us. God with us. God as a part of our lives. God as living in our midst. The Son of God became incarnate or human, and fully divine, and emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. That scripture is talking about how, you know, God himself came lowly into the world in as low as a slave, even lower in some regards. And so he really, really must love us to take that on in that way and to stoop so low to draw us to him, to let us know that he loves us so much that he doesn't want to show off. He wants to sit beside us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to eat with us. He wants to just be with us. And then Pope. Oh. He has, I do not call you servants, I call you friends. He has that attitude towards us. So we can look at his attitude, the Supreme Being, saying, you know, I want you to be my friend. I want to be your friend. Well, are any of us really worthy of having God as our friend? I don't think we are. But he chooses us as his friends. So we can choose others who may not be so perfect, so attractive, so nice, so ideal to be our friends too. Taking an example of him, from him. Okay, and then he goes on to say in paragraph 35, this becomes clearer when we see Jesus at work. You know, he says he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and then Pope goes on to say this becomes clear, the evidence of him being our friend and taking the form of a slave is when we see him at work. He seeks people out. He approaches them, ever open to an encounter with them. We can learn from this too. We can go out. We can seek people out. We can approach them. We can be ever open to an encounter with the people that we know or that we encounter or that we are sent to. Okay, we see it when Jesus stops to speak with the Samaritan woman at the well, when she went to draw water. We see it when in the darkness of night he meets Nicodemus, who feared to be seen in his presence. We marvel when he allows his feet to be washed by a prostitute. When he says to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Or again, when he chides the disciples for their indifference and quietly asks the blind man on the roadside, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus Christ shows that God is closeness, compassion, and tender love. And I add, aware of us, our needs, and who he wishes us to be. So we see him seeking out, approaching some which were undesirables at that time. And great men, lowly people, he wasn't picky. He sought everyone out. He approached them. He encountered them. And he showed us that God is closeness, compassion, and tender love, and very aware of us. And then paragraph 36 says, whenever Jesus healed someone, he preferred to do it not from a distance, but in close proximity, like right there with the person. If he wasn't there, if the person wasn't there, he would go to the person. You know, he didn't have to. In today's scriptures in the gospel, it's about the centurion who went to Jesus and begged for his servant to be healed. And the servant wasn't with him. The servant was back at his home. He was paralyzed and too sick to make the journey. So the centurion says, oh, Lord, please heal him. You don't even have to leave here. You can just do it from afar. And his faith was so strong that Jesus did heal him from afar. So anyway, but most of the time, he was not at a distance. He was right there close by. He stretches out his hands and touched a leper and healed him. He touched Peter's mother-in-law's hand and healed her. He touched the eyes of a blind man and healed him. Multiple people. Stopped to cure a deaf man with his own saliva. It says, in his compassion, God does not love us with words. He comes forth to meet us, and by his closeness, he shows us the depth of his tender love. His tender love. I'm going to have to go in a minute. I can't believe it. It's an hour. Goes so fast. But thank you for joining me. I'll be back next week. And God bless your Advent. Please pray for me. I'm praying for you. And I pray for the station and the network, and God bless you all. I'll see you next week. Take care.